Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Turning Congregation. Now, I'm at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 24, 2016. August 25th, 2020. We will start our second service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled, To Yahweh Be the Glory. Things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear his voice. Praise Yah. Praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, for every believer, the promise of Yah, the violent offender who truly believed, the moment from Yahshua the pardon received. Praise Yah, let the earth hear his voice. Praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua, the King, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing to Yahshua the Son, the pure and higher, greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Yahshua we see. Praise Yah, let the earth hear his voice. Praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Fathers preferred to see their children given grace. This is number 32, time of reading, number one, volume 1, March 15th, 1947. Okay, the study today is going to be taken from the chapter of Isaiah 13. Here, as in other chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, you will notice that a part of the chapter, in this instance, the first 17 verses, speaks of the sins of the ancient Israel, the fathers of the antitypical Israel, and of their fall from power. But the remainder of the chapter speaks of the Israel and the latter days, the days in which antitypical Israel rises to power. Let us now consider Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Evidently, Elohim's people in those days were guilty of these sins. Instead of trusting in Yahweh to deliver them from their enemies, they trusted in Pharaoh for the poor support to lean on. As a result, they were plainly told, Isaiah 30, verse 3 and 7, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. for his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach, for the burden of the beasts of the south, and to the land of the trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, unto a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. This, as you know, is exactly what befell Yahweh's ancient people. How much better it is to sit still, to wait on the Yahweh for help when you are helpless, than to solicit the help of his enemies. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. True, they killed the prophets for warning the people of their sins, but Yahweh decreed that the prophets' writings against the existing sins must remain intact to be read as object lessons by the generations that were to follow thereafter. Yahweh's people of today, therefore, have no excuse for repeating the mistakes of their predecessors. If they do repeat the sins of those who have gone before them, however, then their guilt will bring upon them even greater doom than was brought upon the Jews. And if no one can deny that Isaiah's prophecies against the Jews were fulfilled, then who can dare say that they will not be fulfilled against us if we fail as they did? Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Yahweh, which say unto the seers, see not, and unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. By killing the prophets for their frank speaking, Yahweh's ancient people were in effect saying, prophesy unto us deceit, tell us smooth things, we do not want to know the truth about us. Does this thing still exist among us? Let me tell you an incident that will quickly answer this question. Just the other day from a brother minister, I received a very kindly written letter in which he sincerely expresses his opinion of our literature. He very politely explained that all he has against it is that in it we speak of the sins and mistakes which the leaders of the church commit. If you have love for them, he said, you will speak only good of them. I do appreciate this brother's sincerity in this matter, but I do not appreciate his judgment on it. If we will examine the literature, I am sure he will find that we have said nothing but only what the scriptures say on the subject for our time. Therefore, his burden is in actuality, is directed not against us, but against Yahweh himself. Our business, brother and sister, is not to find fault with either the ministry or the laity, but to truthfully bring unto the light what the scriptures have to say unto Yahweh's people of today. We cannot do otherwise. Yahweh helping us. Ezekiel's charge is our charge. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 3:18. When the Jews found fault with the prophets for speaking of the sins in which the priests were indulging, they actually said, Isaiah 30:11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Especially spiritual blindness is a cruel thing. Its victims can hardly be made to see either their sins or the righteousness of Yahweh, for they misinterpret and misapply everything that is intended for their own good. Isaiah 30, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. If the spiritual eyes of Yahweh's ancient people could possibly have been opened, if they could have seen that their sins were undermining the foundation upon which they were standing, they would not have spit upon the faces of the prophets for the warning them of their plight. Indeed not. Instead, they would have welcomed the prophets. Isaiah 30, verse 14, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sword to take fire from the hearth, or to take a water a withal out of the pit. Who dares deny that their kingdom thus fell? All these things came upon them only because they refused to hear the prophets. Isaiah 30, verse 15 to 18. For this saith Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, and quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not, but ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Yahweh is a Elohim of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Because there is nothing that could have been done for the saving of our ancestors from the shame, for the Yahweh let the nations beat his people and scattered them unto the four winds. For he nevertheless left a promise that he would wait until they, as a people, have gone through their period of prodigality, until they, as individuals, discover their mistakes and give the Yahweh opportunity to display his grace unto them. Those who wait for him are certain to receive his blessing. With the 18th verse comes the dividing line between the account of the Yahweh's ancient people and the forecast of his people's future in the latter days. Up until this point is the record of the former. Now concerning the promises unto the latter, we read Isaiah 30, verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What is the reason that Yahweh so patiently waits, and why does he promise his grace so abundantly unto his people? Because he determined that they shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. His aim is to take them back there and to give them rest. His purpose is to end their weeping, to hear their prayers, and to grant their needs. So it is that while Elohim's ancient people faced destruction, punishment, and desolation, we now are facing restoration, pity, and grace. Today we have the same promise that the people had in Moses' day. Yes, greater. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. although Yahweh's anciently permitted the people, teachers, their prophets to be pushed into a corner, abused and slaughtered, he will permit it no longer. For the eyes of his people shall see their Yahweh's appointed teachers as they are brought to the front. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. There is therefore no need for any of us to go wrong. There is no excuse for making mistakes which we ought not make. Verse 22, Isaiah 30. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. My Elohim's faithful people will not hold to anything that displeases Yahweh. Not only will they cast away all idolatrous things, but they will actually hate them. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. When we comply with all of Yahweh's requirements, then it is that we will prosper. That it is that the devourer shall be rebuked and the curses kept back from us. We should therefore now realize that prosperity does not depend merely upon one's abilities, but that it depends even more upon Yahweh's approval of one's deeds. Isaiah 30, 24. It says that the oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, that shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. If our cattle are to have clean feed, then how much more important that we ourselves have spiritual food that is winnowed by the Spirit of the truth. This they are to have. Isaiah 30, verse 25. There shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters, in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Obviously, when Yahweh's waters of salvation cover the earth, even unto the tops of the mountains, so to speak. Then the watchtowers, the pulpits that the people have on their own initiative built will fall. Doubtless the day of the slaughter is in the time of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. So again, we are brought face unto the face with the reality that the truth does one of two things. If it cannot save, it destroys. This truth under which you are listening today will verily spread throughout the world as far spreads in the stubble. Matters not who attempt to stop Elohim's truth. I know that all such will stumble and fall and not be found, but that the truth shall cover the earth. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days, and the day that the Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So were this not a figure of speech, were the sun actually to become 7 times hotter than it is, then the earth itself would go into flames. Obviously, the sun in this instance is used figuratively for the illustrating that the light of the Elohim's word now, while he is binding the wound of his people, is to increase sevenfold. All the light that there is will burst upon the earth, as does the sun after a cloudy day. Moreover, the moon, that is, parentheses, the church, the agency which reflects the rays of the sun into the dark places of the earth, will as a result accommodate the people, not much better than she has heretofore, but perfectly. Already we see the light of Elohim's word rising higher and higher with each passing word. Isaiah 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Look, commands the Yahweh, the unveiling of these truths indicate but one thing, that we are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the day in which there shall be but one Yahweh and his name one. Okay, it says Isaiah 30, verse 28. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach unto the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. For the Yahweh's breath, his written word, will rise. Revealed truth will increase. Up, up, up and up until it shall reach into the midst of the neck, as it were to sift the nation. For the vain it shall fall, but the humble, those that wait for the Yahweh, shall stand. Isaiah 30, 29. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart as when one goeth with a pot to come into the mountain of Yahweh, unto the mighty one of Israel. Yes, the rejecters of Yahweh's word may lament and gnash their teeth and out in the outer darkness, but the obedient, those who wait for the Yahweh, shall sing as when a holy solemnity is kept, and shall, as it were, play with a pipe instrument to come into the mountain kingdom of the Yahweh. Isaiah 30:30. And the Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a divine fire, with a scattering and tempest and hail of stone. Yahweh is about to thus manifest his power and vindicate his cause, for the days of his silence are almost past. Isaiah 30, 31 to 33. For through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, and in every place where the ground of staff shall pass, which the Yahweh, that the Yahweh shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Topheth is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. If Yahweh's people in the ancient days had believed what the prophets told them, what a difference it would have made. Their mistakes must now become our knowledge, our stepping stone of the escape. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yeshua Messiah, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house, Let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. Again he limiteth a certain day, as saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:1-2. Hebrews 4:1-7. Our forefathers preferred deceit. We, though, ought to now gladly respond unto Mary's plea, and thus obtain grace. End of 32. Now we're going to Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 33. Isaiah 31:1-4. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek to Yahweh, yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not Yahweh, and their horses, flesh, and not spirit. When the Yahweh shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down. And they all shall fall together, for thus hath Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Asher of the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Though the Yahweh permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles, this scripture shows that he will soon deliver it. Not only will he deliver his people in Mount Zion, but he will defend them too. Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Having now come to the time of their deliverance, the Yeshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him to reform. Isaiah 31:7. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, that your own hands have made unto you for a sin. To turn unto him, he explains, is to cast away every idol. When such great revival reformation takes place among Elohim's people, he continues, Isaiah 31:8-9, then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Because of idolatry, the Assyrians were permitted to take Elohim's ancient people and their pleasant land. And certain it is that the Assyrian will control the land just so long as Elohim's people continue in idolatry. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as the great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall. And Yahweh's people shall just as certainly return. For the Assyrians shall thus fall, not at the sword of a mighty man and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, it was smote with a rod. Isaiah 30:31. Isaiah 32:1-8. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water, and a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. For the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and the utter error against Yahweh, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. For the infants also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Turning again unto his ancient people, inspiration declares that though their kingdom was doomed to fall, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and that in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:2, that though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day coming when those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear, that the heart of the rash shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer be ready to speak plainly, that the vile person shall then be recognized as vile, and the churl shall no more be called bountiful, that the vile persons and the hypocrites shall be known as those who speak error against the Yahweh, and who endeavor for the cheating of the spiritually hungry and thirsty soul, that on the other hand, the churl will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor even poor. Isaiah 32:7. Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, and hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you, and make ye bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of the joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be for dens, forever a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. For the woman here referred to are doubtless Ahola and Aholabah, Ezekiel 23. The figure names of Judah and Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Here we are told that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high, then will they return. We have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes, then no longer will their land be captive, in captivity. No longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of souls. Isaiah 32:16-20. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now, what have we learned from these two chapters of the Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of the subject of which the previous chapters treated. Now, even more vividly than before, we see that the ancient Israel's idolatry forced Yahweh to permit them to be ruled by the Assyrians. He is, however, well able to deliver them when his people hear his plea and lay aside their idols. When they turn again unto the Yahweh, when this great revival and reformation called for in this chapter is finally effected, thus it is that through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in righteousness, and the vile persons and hypocrites shall be treated as such. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of souls. Now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brother, sister, bring that day closer by parting with all our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Elohim. Okay, that's the end of number 33. We're going to go right on into number 34, entitled The Spoiler Spoils Taken by the Lame and the Weak. Isaiah 33:1. Woe unto thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoil, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taking into the consideration what follows in this chapter and in the next two chapters, for the chapters 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in chapter 33, it becomes clear that the one upon whom woe is pronounced is the church preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, and that's the Seventh Day Adventist Church, the day in which the sinners of Zion perish, the day in which the repentant ones are given their reward, the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion, Isaiah 34:8. So the great day of Yahweh, when it does finally arrive, it will be a day of vengeance and of judgment, and many people are going to die, even on that very day. For the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventists is especially pointed out by the fact that, unlike the Old Testament congregation, she has been spoiling but has not been spoiled. That she has been dealing treacherously, but she herself has not been so dealt with. For the inspiration, however, goes on to forecast a reverse of this situation. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously. For his faithful ones in the midst of her, however, that's the 144,000, shall find grace, for they plead. Verse 2, Isaiah 33. O Yahweh, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. So where had the 144,000 been waiting? They've been waiting in the Adventist church all this time until the great day of Yahweh come. So this verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Elohim's truth-seeking people. They are praying, not for themselves alone, but for their brethren also. They fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yahweh. Elohim's power shall be felt throughout the earth. Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. This verse reveals that when Elohim manifests his power among his people in the Seventh-day Adventist church, in the world, will feel the effects of it. Okay, Isaiah 33:4. And your spoil, Seventh-day Adventist, and your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. The spoils which the church has acquired, he gathers as the gathering of the caterpillar. And it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5, the Yahweh is exalted in the Seventh-day Adventist church, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion, the Seventh-day Adventist church, is called Zion of today, with judgment and righteousness by taking away and the tares, separating the tares from the 144,000, the wheat. With these things, when these things take place in the Seventh-day Adventist church, then Zion, the church purified, will be filled with judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Elohim's faithful ones have this assurance. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time, and the strength of the salvation, for the fear of the Yahshua is his treasure. But concerning their unrepentant mighty ones, inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7, behold, their violent ones in the Adventist church shall cry without, for the ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace in the Seventh-day Adventist church, rather than the day of the Yahweh, shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 33:8. For the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the city, he regardeth no man. In the language of the day, this verse would read, for the missionary routes lie waste, the missionary himself ceases. He has broken his contract. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. For the earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. So, Bashan, 10 tribes, Israel, 7 day Adventist, and Carmel, 2 tribes, Shepherd Rod, Davidian, 7 day Adventist, they shake off their fruits. And that's in Isaiah 33:9. The nouns in this verse being profoundly figurative and the time of the fulfillment yet future, we are unprepared to make any comment. Well, I just made the comments. Vitihalis didn't know how to apply Bashan and Carmel shaking off their fruits. He knew that he represented Carmel, the shepherd rod, but he couldn't understand how Carmel was going to shake off his fruits, so he didn't have no comment on it. but I just commented on it. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I rise, saith Yahweh. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. At the time, the conditions here described materialize, and it is that the Yahweh will arise and be exalted and lifted up. This is the Yahshua, actually. Now it says, Isaiah 33:10. Now will I rise, saith Yahshua. I'll read that again. Now will I rise, saith Yahshua, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now will I be exalted, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now will I lift up myself. And at the time that the conditions are described, materialized, then it is that the Yahshua will arise and be exalted and lifted up in their kingdom, where he sits upon the throne of David in Luke 1:32-33. But unto those that are at fault, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. Turning unto the sinners and hypocrites among his people, those upon whom the woe of verse 1 is actually pronounced, Yahweh reveals that the fruit of their doing shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he adds, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Okay, now let's go back and read that. We read what we just read, Isaiah 33:11. Ye Seventh-day Adventists shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. Turning unto the sinners and hypocrites and among his people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, those upon whom the woe of the verse 1 is actually pronounced, Yahweh reveals that the fruit of their doing shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he adds, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns. So it says, and the people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Having commenced his purifying work in Zion, he declares, Isaiah 33:13-14, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. For the sinners in Zion, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? I keep emphasizing SDA because SDA, they don't like to be identified with these here judgmental verses that calls for their judgment. When the righteous judge rises, that's Yahshua, to sift the people, then the hypocrites will not be boasting that they are just as good Christians as any. Neither will they say any more, we do not need more truth. Instead, fearfulness and surprise will overtake them. For the greatest and most honorable question will then be, who among us shall dwell with the divine fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? And here is the all-inclusive answer. Isaiah 33:15-17. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Passing from this expression of the divine care and seeing of the beauty, they are next out. Isaiah 33:18. For thine heart shall meditate terror. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Where is the scribe? Question mark. Where is the interpreter of the law? Where is the high priest? Like Zerubbabel was, the governor of Judea. Like Ezra was, a high priest. That stood up in the pavement and read to the children of Israel that came out of captivity of Judah. After 70-year captivity. Said Ezra stood up and he's a scribe of the law, an interpreter of the law. He's a priest. He rose up and he's read in the midst of the pavement to the people for 6 hours standing in the heat. Where is the receiver? Question mark in the Adventist Church. Where is he that counted the towers? In other words, where is he that counted all the ordained presidents of the General Conference and high ordained ministers? Terrifying indeed is the realization that those who are found without the wedding garment, among whom are those who hold the highest church offices, secretary and treasurer, are cast out to weep and gnash their teeth. So there goes your casting out of the General Conference president, Mr. Wilson, as we know him today. But the remnant of those who are left shall be exalted. Unto them the Yahweh says, Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. For the guests who pass the master's inspection are actually to be made great, but it is in comprehension of a deep speech, or be it in understanding of a stammering tongue. None shall be greater than they, for the eyes of the faithful are next directed unto the city of the Yahweh. Isaiah 33:20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. After the troublemakers have been removed in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then Yahweh's people will be seen to stand there steadfast and sure, standing. That's 144,000, standing not even the slightest chance of ever being disturbed, and the saints shall be full of joy. Even now they exclaim, Isaiah 33:21-22, that there the glorious Yahshua will be unto us a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yahshua is our judge, the Yahshua is our lawgiver, the Yahshua is our king, he will save us. All these things shall be ours, if we are but faithful unto the end. Again, addressing the church that is approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, he declares, Isaiah 33:23, thy tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then it is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lamb take the prey. They that obey not the voice of the Yahshua in the Seventh-day Adventist Church are here forewarned that the day is at hand when they will find themselves unable any longer to gather the spoil. In other words, in order to make a living or even to get ahead. Then it is that their spoil shall be divided, and the lamb, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the seemingly weak and helpless, shall take the prey. Isaiah 33:24. And the inhabitants in the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. So apparently only the righteous and the humble and the meek are the only ones going to be left in the Adventist Church when Yahshua gets through going through her and judging her and marking her and sending his five angels with slaughtering weapons after him to go through the city, that's Ezekiel 9, and slay utterly old and young, and army and maids and men, maidens and little children, but come not near any man upon whom he has the mark, and begin at my sanctuary in the seventh day of the church. Okay. Just think, in a little while, if we be faithful, no longer will any of us need to say, I am sick. Now, to review a few of the high points of our study. Upon the unfaithful who are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Yahweh pronounces a curse. For the church, Seventh-day Adventist church, is to be stripped of the spoil which she has acquired, and is to be dealt with treacherously just as she has dealt with others. Very obviously, at the time this pronouncement is made in the Seventh-day Adventist church, a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Elohim's truth-seeking people. For they recognize the fact that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and they are reassured that their stability and strength of salvation are to be found in wisdom and knowledge, in the Spirit and in the truth for the day. The fear of Yahweh is to be their greatest treasure. When Elohim manifests his power among the people, even the world will feel the effects of it. For the missionary roots lie waste. The missionary himself sees it. He regards no man. Elohim reveals that the fruit of the sinners and hypocrite among his people shall be chaff and stubble. Their own breath shall devour them as if it were the fearfulness and surprise shall overtake them. Then it is that Zion, Mount Zion, in the 12th, and at the 12th hour, the congregation of the everlasting kingdom of David that comes out of the Seventh-day Adventist church with 144,000 represents the congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist purified. It is to be filled with judgment and righteousness. Yahweh is at that time to be exalted and lifted up. His people who have walked uprightly shall be blessed with his divine care. Their eyes shall see the King and his beauty. The congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, of this here purified kingdom of David that came out of the Adventist Church with the 144,000 shall be steadfast and sure, never to be disturbed, for the spoil which the denomination has acquired will be taken by the Lamb. That's the one that represents the true remnant that were purified, come through the fire and was purified, tried, and made white. That's Daniel 12:10. They shall be forgiven their iniquity, and their health shall be restored. Yes, the promise unto you is sure. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, for the glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58:8. If you will but give heed unto this solemn warning and remain faithful unto it. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Sweet By and By.
There's a line that is said in day, and by faith we can see afar. For the Father makes over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, nor a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Through a bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.